You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to the Cleveland Browns anytime and anywhere by downloading the mobile app for your iPhone, smartphone, Android phone, iPad, tablet, whatever you want. On the Browns app, you can listen to this show anywhere in the world. That's right, you can get great stories like those from the notorious VIC Vic Carucci. You can get the Cleveland Browns Daily Wrap by Megan Rock and Carly McCord as well. Everything you need to know about the Browns, get your information directly from the source and stay connected to the Browns anytime and everywhere. Obviously, the biggest story in the National Football League today involves defensive end or outside linebacker, depending on how he will transition the NFL. Michael Sam from the great College of Missouri coming out saying that he is a proud gay man and will hopefully be in the NFL, would be the first openly gay player in the National Football League. We talked about that early. We'll get your reaction to that as the show goes on as well. But wanted to hear from some of the people around the league because it has been a huge, huge topic. Let's start with the man himself, Michael Sam, on basically the fact that he says, yes, this is a part of me, but really, I just want to be a football player.
I'm Michael Sam, and I'm a football player. I want to be a football player in the NFL. All that, I understand how big this is because it's a big deal. Nothing has done this before. No one has done it, and it's a kind of nervous process. But I know what I want to be, and I want to be in, play a snap in the NFL.
And I thought the moment of truth for him, and we want to hear this next, is when he got to that point back in August. To say this is the right time to share this with my teammates, the guys that I'm going to spend my final season at the collegiate level with, and he was asked how it felt to come out to his teammates.
It's a load off my chest. I told my teammates this past August that I came out to my teammates, and they took it great. They rallied around me, they supported me, and I couldn't ask for better teammates.
You know, and I think that's what it comes down to, because a lot of the question that I got today and maybe people have out there is, you know, why does anybody care? Why does he feel like he has to do this? I think, and my answer, and I think you got it there, is that he just doesn't want to have to live a secret life or feel that he must live a secret life or put on airs. He just wants to be himself and be accepted for who he is. And for that, I applaud him. I think everybody should be accepted for who they are ultimately.
Right.
And if that, and I think it's obviously something that shows, as you point out in the opening segment, Vic, that his teammates had a high level of respect for him, that this didn't come out and he was able to kind of break this news publicly on his own.
Yeah, it's bigger than just the ability to, quote, keep a secret. I think it's a ultimate sign of respect. I really do. I think it's saying to your teammate, look, this is your intensely kind of private thing that you decided to share with us in the football family of Missouri. And it was understood. And I don't know, I'm not going to pretend to know what else was involved in those discussions, how much the head coach got involved or school administration got involved with regard to the football team. Because no matter what you're talking about, and I don't care what admonitions there might have been, a big group like that, and especially young guys in a setting like college football, it's not easy to sit on anything and keep any topic or any behavioral thing, you know, whatever it might be, in a different category. I'm talking about a guy who does just something bizarre off field or gets into some kind of scrape or something. And 9 times out of 10, there's the accompanying somebody's video, you know, something that gets out there. We know it. These guys are high profile, and even if they're not high profile, if their story, if their individual, whatever it might be, individual circumstance becomes something that other players recognize as significant. You know, you've got guys at the top and the bottom of a roster, of a collegiate roster, guys who will say never play another down of football again, might say, what have I got to lose if I put this out there? Well, they chose to keep it all to his schedule and on his agenda. And I'm happy about that, and I'm proud of them for that. But I think it also speaks to what Michael Sam might be all about. And I'm going to study more about him as I do any player coming into the draft. His football skill is the only thing I'm going to really pay attention to, but I will get some, you know, some feedback on the guy, because we do that too when we're prepping for a draft, to see what players are about and how they can fit into what you're doing. And I think the best part about this might be for his sake is just relief, just to
right,
not
it's
have
out
to
there.
Because then it, you know, trying to step up to the next level of football is, I think, challenging and complicated enough. Take this off the table as much as you can, and I think it helps him out.
I think it does, too. And, you know, the reaction from people around the league certainly has come in. And for the most part, I'd say very, very supportive. But there is acknowledgement, as you said, that there is that 5% out there. And Jerome Bettis talked about how he feels he would be accepted in a locker room.
It's going to be about 90-95% that will welcome him
really?
In with open arms because they understand now going forward. And I think there's about 5% of the players in that locker room that probably would have a problem with him being there.
You know, in a similar vein, like the locker room, because there was a previous locker room that he was involved in, and that was at Missouri. And this is what Gary Pinkel, the head coach of Missouri, had to say about that.
You know, like the incidents that happened down at Miami Dolphins, you know, when you have a locker room atmosphere like that, when people are verbally being destructive to one another and call it fun, I think there's a fine line there. The locker rooms are great. You know, sports, we all, you know, we played a lot. The locker rooms are awesome. It's a great thing about being a member of a team. And guys, you know, guys like to bust each other and get after each other verbally all the time, and that's fine. But I talk to our team, too. But there's a certain point when what you say is hurtful, and it doesn't help the team. It hurts the team. And so if you have that kind of environment where people just say anything they want and they say mean, awful, berating things to people, it's probably not going to work very well.
You know, interesting follow-up to this, what Gary just points out as a head coach, is something Tony Dungy said in offering a thought after his sit-down, his one-on-one sit-down with Jonathan Martin, which ran during Super Bowl week. And you recall, it was something that did not play very well with Joe Philbin, the head coach of the Dolphins. Not surprisingly, he took umbrage when Tony Dungy said that he didn't think the locker room situation or the Dolphins' atmosphere was a healthy one, a good one for Jonathan Martin. And I'm not saying these are identical situations, but you had a guy who clearly in Martin was considered, quote, a little different. And then the whole whatever it was, if it was bullying or whatever came down between him and Richie Incognito, that led to both of them right now being off that football team and their futures uncertain. But I think Dungy saying that about the Dolphins could apply here. You've got to have, you know, the right situation. Is there a bet out of 32 teams? I'm not going to be naive enough to sit here and say, oh, yeah, they got it all set. Every place would be a good fit for Michael Sam or anybody who might be, quote, different.
Yeah, and, you know, in talking to some of the players that have been in the league, they thought that, you know, perhaps he would be best served on a veteran team like the Patriots, a team with a strong locker room that could handle something like that. But I think ultimately, like, people, we need to accept where we are as a society, and we're moving forward, and really it shouldn't matter what team he goes to. Now, I think you're right. Obviously, some teams it'll work better than others, but ultimately I think we should get to a point where it really doesn't matter what team he goes to, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we will. It'll be go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as a general manager, your job is to put the best players on your team.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that your locker room is a welcoming environment for a player who can help you win football games. And I think there's going to have to be some in-locker room policing amongst players, by coaches, et cetera. And I think that this is something that will go away very, very quickly. I think, you know, just hearing about the respect that came out of the previous locker room that he was in with guys in college who, as you said, aren't necessarily playing to support their families. You know, these are guys, there are, I'm sure, a lot of people look in the mirror in that locker room and know they're not going to the NFL, so they have an opportunity to do something, you know, and not have to worry about financial ramifications coming out of it, and they didn't. I think that says a lot about him, and I think that's going to be very, very important, and you know, really, his agent Lee Steinberg kind of says, listen, let's all get together. This really shouldn't be an issue with Sam in the locker room.
It all comes down in football to how you fit into the group, which he's shown the ability to do, and whether or not you help the team to win. So that this is not an issue that I would counsel a player to be closed about.
Yeah, and just to dovetail off the point about that fit, Just want to hear this sound from Todd McShay, the draft analyst for ESPN, what he had to say regarding most teams concern themselves only with whether this guy can play or not.
I think some teams are going to look at this and say, you know what, let's evaluate him as a player. We have no problem with the personality stuff. We think he can help us win, and at the end of the day, that's all that's important. Not all teams will be like that, but I think the majority of the teams, and I hope the majority of the teams out there, wind up having that same mentality.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to get more thoughts on this coming up. We got Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Certainly want to hear what he has to say, Nate.
Yeah, we certainly do want to see here. Yes, of course, the great Deke. Always, I'm happy that, and I feel like we're going to have, it's going to be smooth. The Deke didn't like it when you were in New York. We'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.